to do what we do on Sunday mornings. We're overwhelmed by God's goodness and what God has done in just a few short years in our lives. We're approaching year 20 that we'll celebrate ministry from launching out in our living room to doing what God's brought, which are people, not a building. People are the essence. When we look at people, we realize that's living faith. The buildings are secondary. But when a son comes home, or when people come back, or when we have the God, that God shows up like he did during our worship. Wasn't that incredible today? Give our worship team just a tremendous hand. They may not be here. They may be in the hall. But y'all let them know that we appreciate them. They're such a key to us. And along with our greeters, along with all the people, the children's work, it all combines. Just imagine if we didn't have Daisy doing what she's doing, giving us this, and plus if babies are running around everywhere, but they're getting ministered too. So thank God for the people of God that are holding up our church and blessing it, and they could literally lift up this building. They're that strong. Amen. Irma and I are honored to be among great people like you that serve weekly, and we're humbled, and we give you back to God. Amen. Because that's where you came from. Give me a good amen. And so we're Living Faith Church. Let's welcome our first-time guest. Amen. Come on, welcome them, bless them, be a blessing to them. Yeah, remember when you came for the first time, second time, third time you came back. I'll be at the cafe, and I'll be smelling that good soup that they're cooking, and I'll talk about that in a moment. By the way, Menudo is here. No, not the band from the 80s. Literally Menudo, amen, is here. Some of y'all need to get back with the 80s, right? All right, and just having some fun. We're Living Faith Church, faith that you can see as we gather, grow, and go. Welcome the Facebook Live audience. Some of them, that's their church, and welcome them. Do you have your message notes handy? If you need them, raise your hand. You maybe snuck in or there wasn't a greeter. If you need them, raise your hand high. We'll get them to you. Do y'all have your message notes? Because if you need them, I'll give them to you. Okay, we have a couple of people here on this side. How about over here on this side? Well, we have an usher, 100%. You wave a hanky at me if you don't have a... Just show me that. Show you got them. Show them to me. Okay, good. All right, thank you guys. Because I don't. You're not lying, but sometimes you look like you're lying. I have a couple of wedding pictures that I wasn't able to show first service. Extra treat. These are hashtag funny wedding pics, and Google has everything. But that guy did a photo bomb, and he's the Lutheran pastor or whatever. But I don't know how he got up there. But that's kind of. Maybe they did that on purpose. I don't know. How many would like that if I pulled something like that on your daughter's wedding? No, you wouldn't, right? I wouldn't get invited back, right? No. Anyway, next picture. Well, they're fans, aren't they? Yeah. They just had to get that in there. Amen. Enough said. I'm a Star Trek guy, so live long and prosper. Move ahead. And how about the next one? That is kind of funny because that's somewhere either in Texas or the South, wouldn't you think? And that was somewhere in the 80s with the what do you call it? And so that's just a giant man, amen? Anyway, show me the next one. Oh, that guy's like a father-in-law, amen? And you had to just jump into the picture. And when you're barefoot, you can jump that high. And I think there's one more, a couple more. Yeah, that guy is literally, he was a punter for the New England Patriots, and he was able to levitate that much, but amen, they're doing deliverance on him next week, amen, as he levitates and that sort of thing. I think I have one more. Is that it? Okay, good. Let me show me the following slide, then we'll just get ready to do that one in a moment today. We prepared for those that aren't married in our married series, and we're really investing into them for the next 5 weeks, and so there's a tool that you're going to have by the notes that you got for the next 5 weeks. And we're just not doing this. We're strategic in doing our message series, relationship series, especially to those that aren't married. So you want to make sure that your young people are here, especially 12 and up. If they're 12 and under, they need to take advantage of our great children's ministry. And so we want to do these five commitments that we're about to recite in a moment, because they will really fail-proof your marriage from having a divorce come about. Because I'm tired of marriages crumbling. How about you? And I'm fed up with couples that give up. I know that they've done everything that they can. That's why I go to my knees, or that's why I pray so hard, because I want everyone to make it in this room. And I know many of you in this room to be real sensitive that you've tried. and you cried out to God, and you still went through the contract and the covenant that was broken. And I know your heart's broken in this room today, but I'm thankful for a redemptive God. Boy, is he here today. I'm thankful for everyone that's made a mistake, including myself, and that by the grace of God, I'm married. Amen. And I have a forgiving wife, and she's forgiven me, and I've forgiven her, and we've been blessed, and that's what makes a marriage. So I want to join the fight against the destruction against marriage, and I want to make these five commitments with you during the next 5 weeks today. And so we're calling it I Do, because eventually when two say I do, we're going to say we do together. And God's an I Do God. Did you know that? He said I do in covenant because I do love you, God would say. I do relationship with you because my son coming down from heaven to earth, and he made it happen for us, and that's how much God loved you. So I'm committed to you. God would say, I'm very committed to you today, amen, and that's covenant. And it's a picture, again, of marriage on how it would be in heaven, how it comes to earth, and how we get satisfied by that. And it's a picture of what God will do one day, because he loved you so much that he would put a ring on it. He wanted you that much, right, everybody? And anything that God loves, the devil hates. And so when God sees the Institute of Marriage, or he sees young people trying to one day be married, he gives them a warped perspective. And we want God's perspective on this today. Satan hates marriage, and he does everything against it to fight it. And he wins sometimes, but we bounce back today. I want you to invite friends during this next 5 weeks, because it's important to invite those neighbors, families, marriages that you know about. Maybe you've heard them tell you the story at the water cooler about their wife or about him. And those are the people that you need to bring in this week as a missionary to your job, right, everybody? Some of you say, I'm a teacher, I'm a plumber. We're disguising you as a plumber. We're disguising you as that accountant. You're going back in as a minister, amen, where you work at today, right, everybody? You missed a good amen time and a good clap time, yeah. Yeah, one of y'all. Thank you, wife, amen. You are a blessing to me, amen. You're my cheerleader today, right? Ladies, let me ask you a question. Come on, don't lie in church, amen. Ladies, when you dreamed about being married, you dreamed about the wedding day, your wedding, your wedding gown, how he was going to carry over the altar. You had everything, your cake, what you were going to name your children. You had everything picked out, the perfect house. He was going to carry over the threshold. Did you ever dream about that, ladies, when you were like a teenager? Anybody, just being honest. You're honest in the house of God today, everybody. Okay, you can put down your hand. Okay, men here, you're same way our ladies were honest. You dreamed when you got married you were going to have sex twice a day, three times on Sunday. Any good men that are honest in the house of God? Yeah, amen, good. He's a man, good, good. All right. Now, last question for everybody. Are you still dreaming? Yes. There's lots of expectation and lots of hurt and disappointment, lots of letdown in marriage. And so I ask the question, is a great marriage still possible? Yes, yes it is, and I'm thankful for the people agreeing with me. It's definitely, yes, possible, but it's not likely if you don't do it the way God's told you to do it. See, even Christians, they don't do it the way God's told them to do it, even though he's given them the playbook, the outline in it through his word. And we're like, that's why we're even in the church, the 50 percenters, and we don't make it. And those that stay married sometimes without the principles of God's word, you do it because of the kids, and you're miserable. You grow old miserable, and that's why we look miserable. and so we just stay together. And what other area, the 50 percenters, would you be satisfied if the odds were stacked against you that way? In other words, the 50%, would you live that way if they said, hey, if you keep eating those cookies, you're going to get a bad sickness and die? You would avoid those cookies, wouldn't you? You would say, I'm going to get new cookies. I'll get some animal crackers now or something else. I'm not going to eat those cookies because they'll get me real sick. 50%, you get on that plane, it's going to go down. It's going to crash. I would cancel the flight. I would have taken some insurance out, right, everybody? 50% that you're going to get killed in a car wreck if you go on that highway at this time. I would not go on that highway if there was a 50% chance. But yet we do that with marriage. We live that way. There's a 50% chance that I may end up in divorce, and there's a better way to live, right? There's a 50% chance if you go down my street at 9 in the morning that cats that have evolved with thumbs are going to attack you, a herd of cats, and kill you. You wouldn't go down my street. You would avoid that street. Just trying to keep you awake here. Is that okay with everybody? Yeah. And so it's insane that we get a driver's permit, and it's so much easier than getting, it's easier to get a marriage license, that you go down and do that, and you can get a driver's permit, but you got to take all these classes when you're younger, right? Shouldn't that change? Shouldn't we know God's word? Shouldn't we apply God's word to our home today? For those that aren't married, one day, by the grace of God, you won't enter a legal contract, but you'll enter a covenant before Almighty God. And you'll stand before your pastor. They don't know you, and the church will know you. All the witnesses will come. And that's the way to do it. You'll not enter a contract, but you'll enter a covenant before Almighty God. I didn't realize over 25 years ago the heaviness of the altar when my pastor took me before God and took Irma before God, and we recited our vows. And he told me something like this: Mario, do you take Irma to be your wedded wife, to live together in marriage? When he got to that point, do you promise? I honestly, something changed in my life, because I knew I was not only promising him, my pastor, but promising all those 200 people or whatever came that day to eat our food that we would have at our reception. Those people, and then the thought of that, I was making this before Irma also, but I was also before that. It was a big, big promise that I was making to God. And that was like, and he went on to say, do you promise to love her, to comfort her, to honor her, to keep her for better or for worse, richer or for poor, in sickness or in health, forsaking all, to be faithful to her, only her, as long as you shall both live? And then I said, I knew what to say. I do. In the days back in old, they would say something like this: so help me God. Do y'all remember that? Yeah, so help me God. Because it was almost like you would say, not when it was so help me God. And it was like, so help me God. Because God needed to be involved. And if God wasn't involved, we weren't going to make it. And only by God's hand can we make it today. Amen. Heaven is a picture. Marriage is a picture of what heaven will be like. You won't be married in heaven. Yeah. You'll know. Well, I didn't know my husband. Yeah, you'll know. But you'll be finally fulfilled with the one that has brought relationship to the next level. And his name is Jesus. Yeah. Sorry, dude. You're going to be a bride. How about a soldier? Amen. You're a soldier. But we're going to be married to Jesus. Amen. And all of our, you ladies ought to be glad. Finally, a man is going to be bless you. Amen. Give me a good amen. Amen. And that's who we should be looking for on this earth. Give me a good amen. Amen. He completes us. God does today. And so the weeks are, I usually don't give the sermons of what we'll give you during the next 5 weeks. But I'm doing this based on a book by Craig Groeschel, Life Church out of Oklahoma City. Great pastor, multiple campus. Just a general in the Lord. And so these are five chapters from his book. Number one, we're going to pursue God. Number two, next week, fight fair. Fighting can be constructive and build if you do it right, but you got to fight fair. Learn the keys next week. Three, having fun. I just want to tell you, that's kind of a PG-13 maybe sermon. So if children are under 12, you want to make sure, again, that they're part of our tremendous children's ministry. Second service, come to the second service and be part of that if you come to the first, amen. And then one guy said, you know, man, I got to be part of that. Make sure that's the third week, okay, because he's going to do that. Show me some love in the offering. I'm going to take it PG-13. Is that cool for everybody? It's going to be a little bit spicy, but it'll be good, right? It should be. We should be the best, amen. We're God's children. Number four should be staying pure. Number five, never give up. Now, you can go ahead and say these with me. Don't be a bump on a log. Let's go ahead and say these together. Number one, pursue God. Two, fight fair. Three,
have fun.
Five,
fun.
Yeah, till death do us part, right? Yeah, Irma and I, by the grace of God, have never thought about divorce. We have thought about murder.
I said, honey, man, I love chorizo mexicano. And, you know, when it, you know, I said, baby, you can poison me slowly just by giving me a little bit of poison, the chorizo, because I love the chorizo mexicano. And I said, just give me a little bit of that and I'll just start shrinking away. Be little, she can, like, just feed me a little bit in bed. She's poisoning me. She doesn't think of that stuff. I do. oh, don't rebuke me in the hallway. That lady get me. Why did you say that in church? Amen. Because I'm human. Amen. I'm not like you. Amen. No. Matthew 6:33 on the big screen says this. But the principle of first, but seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. Whose kingdom? His kingdom, his righteousness. And notice how God gets involved once you put God first. He gets all your stuff in line. Relationships, he gets all of it. The car, the job. But you got to put God first. And all the most important thing, the big rocks that you put into the tank to fill up the tank. But seek God first in his righteousness. All these things, God gets involved, will be given to you as well. But the problem, I believe, is that we seek our spouse first before we seek God. And we reverse it and the whole universe is messed up. It's malfunctioning. How many times have we heard that one come in? Maybe they came into you, mom and dad. I think I found the one. She's great, man. She's beautiful. She's intelligent. She's the one. I found the one. We hear that. Or they come to pastor. I found the one, pastor. Will you do our wedding? And you know, you won't be fulfilled until you meet that one. How many recognize that? You really won't. It's part of your life. It's part of your journey. But if you have God as your one, then you have it all. But we have it backwards because, you see, God needs to be the one. I would love for a young person to come and tell me one day, hey, pastor, I found the... Yeah, they're two. And I would go, amen. They got it. After all these years we've been preaching that, they got it. Amen. Because there's a slide. God is your one and your spouse is your... It's a foundational principle about any relationship. Sometimes people in the church have made pastor one, and they realize that he's not God, and they get disappointed in their pastor real quick, right? Because they elevated him so God is pastor's not God. Aren't you glad? Just this morning, right now during the worship, I said, God, this is your church. I had to give it back to Jesus. And I got to do that continually because sometimes I get this warped sense that this is your church. This is their church. Or you got to do it. No, it's not there. It's not any of ours. It's God's church. He lets us handle a little bit of it. He lets us manage a little bit of it. But God is ultimate. Listen, he's going to pay the bill. He's going to be in charge, right? He just wants us to get on the journey with him. Give me a good amen. I'm preaching better than your amen in about 52%, but I'll take one amen. That's okay with everybody, yeah. And look at the foundational principle of Matthew 22 in your handout. You haven't had any fun all day. You can talk back now. 22:37. Let's read this out loud, not out soft. Something happens when you read God's word. On three, one, two, three, go. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Love your neighbor as your... Yeah. Notice he didn't say, love the Lord your spouse. Love your spouse with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. I'm glad God got it right in the order it should be, right? Yeah, do y'all get that with me? And this is the first and greatest commandment. And if you'll do this, then the second is like this, and it completes, it makes everything better, right? Yeah, God is your one, and your spouse is your two. For those that are hoping to get married one day, and those that desire a relationship, thank God you're in the house of God today. Again, I'm not going to leave you out during this sermon series, amen. But by the way, if you're here and you're single one day and you're believing to be married one day, can I see your hand? Just lift it up high, 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 everybody, high. Okay, look around, everybody. There may be a holy hookup, amen. Maybe you can go ahead and name your firstborn. Make the middle name Mario. Is that okay? Because Mario's he's not in the baby book anymore. It's really dying out there. And I just need somebody to name somebody Mario one day. Amen. And so it'll be a good initial, right? So you're hoping to get married. And so I will pursue the one while preparing for my... Make the commitment to get closer to God. It makes you more attractive. When you're full of God, you look better on the outside. You get close to God, it prepares you. There's nothing like a contrite heart, a humble heart towards God, that makes a man of God, a single man of God, look attractive. A woman of God that's given her all, humbled before God. Amen. Thank God for it. Many of you know my story because I've said it. Hey, I've been doing this for 20 years. And so all of y'all know my history. I only got so many stories. Amen. I got to keep living. Amen. But y'all are catching up with me. And so when I was in the 80s growing up, that's the dating culture. Remember, everybody had a girlfriend. Everybody's going steady, wearing the jacket, you know, promise ring, sweetheart ring. They made all sorts of money on us back then. And so I dated a lot. And it got me into trouble a lot. Because when you date a lot, you get into trouble a lot. And so there was disappointment after disappointment. And I knew I had a call of God in my life. And so I said, you know what, I'm going to leave this city, San Antonio, and I'm going to go to Christ for the Nations, and I know I'll concentrate on God there. Well, when I went to Christ for the Nations Bible College, because that's what they called it, I said, certainly my wife's going to be here. Everybody loves Jesus, these girls, and they want to be in ministry. And so I dated a lot there. And I got this reputation. I didn't say it's first service. Y'all see, y'all get all this good stuff. And so does Facebook, amen. And I remember I dated so many girls at Christ of the Nations, never kissed one because that was the code of conduct. Thank you, Jesus, amen. I thought about it, but I didn't kiss them. Give me a good amen. Amen. That, was that still sin? I think so. My wife's saying, yes, it was. That woman, amen, I'm going to get you, amen. So then, you know, I thought about, but so I thought, you know, there was this, girls talk about each other, especially in dorms. And so I got this reputation, like I was this date king. And so they began to talk about me. And then I got this bad reputation that I was on these dates all the time. And I was pure, man. I was innocent. I didn't do anything wrong. No, I'm joking. So went off from Christ for the Nations, and I thought, man, I didn't find my wife, you know. Went back to my local church, dated some more. Yeah, got hurt some more, hurt people, disappointment came. I know I'm the only one like that ever behaved like that in this church. And so I finally got to the point that I had a mentor, a spiritual father, and he told me, he got into my business, he said, you're hurting yourself. Why are you doing that? He said, why don't you just take a season that you just love Jesus, fall in love with him, and he brought Adam, his wife, Mario. He'll bring you your wife. You don't need to look, just love Jesus. So I plugged into ministry like never before. I got involved. I even led a ministry there at the big church I was at serving. I devoted my life to Jesus. And all of a sudden what happened was, as I was helping lead this ministry, here comes this raven-haired beauty walking in. And I went, Shazam. I said, who is that? And I found out her name was Irma. And she found out who I was because I made that happen, so to speak. And she chased me till she caught me, yeah. And so we were married probably about a year and a half later, and that sort of thing happened. And we went through the premarital counseling, and I told you about that. I remember just the gift that I have in my wife. And I always call her my angel because I say, I grabbed your toe, your big toe. You were flying by, and I brought you down to earth. And she is my angel, and she's my blessing. And angels are tough, though. They'll kill people, remember? Angels, they nuke cities. They walk out with people. So angels can be tough, amen? They ain't always sweet. Is that okay with everybody? We're real here. Yeah, we realize that today. Thank God for it. If you're not married today, I want you to seek the one while you're preparing for your two, and seek God today. Be that as a single man, a single woman. The second thought, somebody say, already married. And those that are already married, say this with me on the screen in your handout. I will always pursue my one with my two. Now this side, would you say it? Because this side beat you pretty bad. I will always pursue my one with my, amen. Thank you, guys. You're married, And I will always seek my one with my two. The thing I think that happens in our marriage is that we have our one, but that gets replaced. And then you have your two at times. But you know what comes in sometimes through the years? If we don't keep the fires and the passions of marriage, well, the two now is the children. Or the two is your job. Or the two is the career. The two can become the house. The two can become the boat, right? The two can become, and we need to bring it back where your two is your two, right, everybody? And so it's not a hobby. Our marriages will never be what they're meant to be if God isn't the one. And so you're asking someone to be God, and they're not capable of being God. I love Superman because he was superhuman. And I know he's not real, but even he had relationships trouble. Remember Lois? Yeah, so things weren't always smooth with this Superman guy. And you can't be that guy, and she can't be that superwoman to you. They're not capable. And if you put that much into a human, they will always disappoint you. Do you understand that? Because what you idolize, you will eventually demonize. Opposites attract. Oh, he's so handsome. He is just a good listener. He just doesn't interrupt me. He lets me talk. He's, you know, now you're saying, man, this guy is a bump on a log. He just sits there all day. He's lazy. He's not a leader. Because you idolized him, now you demonize him. Ladies, I have something for you too. Oh, she's just so organized. She's so talkative, and she's so, I can listen to her all day. And now, 20 years later, man, she won't shut up. She's a control freak, right? she just nags, and because you idolize, and you've tried to make somebody one that's not meant to be one, they're meant to be your two. Do you understand that today? And so no human can complete you today, and you're not going to be happy if you go towards that. Daisy prepared a slide for me that's so incredible today, and many of you have seen it on social media or wherever you've seen it, and it's called A Marriage for Not Two, But for Three, and God's at the very top. And then you have him and her. And the way that they move closer, when they move closer to God, they move closer to each other. Do y'all get that today? And so the more worship that you do unto God, the closer that you get to God. The more devoted you are to God's word, the closer that you are. And I'm speaking spiritual, just that point of just God stopping the service and pausing it. For that lady that's in this room saying, I'm the only one that reads the Bible in my home. My husband's not there. He's distant from the things of God. You keep doing the principles of God's word. You keep honoring that man. You keep blessing that man. You keep reading God's word. Put him in the hands of God. You'll see what God will do. Amen. It's not up to you. You just follow God. You fall in love with Jesus. Amen. He is your husband, but God's your husband first. Amen. Get that perspective. We'll have a breakthrough with you today. Amen. Young people that are here that aren't married yet, that are single, amen. I notice as close as you can get to Jesus, you get closer to each other. And your bride is being prepared because you got to have somebody that's pursuing God just like you're pursuing God. And finally, while you're pursuing God, you're going to look over and you're going to see her and say, who is that good-looking girl that's following Jesus like I am? And you're going to collide with each other. And it's going to be holy matrimony. No, it's going to be awesome, right? Safe. You'll be safe. Amen. Give me a good amen. Yeah, and so if we're looking for the best deal for a car, you're going to shop, right? And can you find a car? Yes, you can, because you're looking for the best deal. If you're looking for your nails to get done, ladies, by the way, if you're a guy getting your nails done, you're not allowed in this church. But ladies, if you're looking for the best place to get your nails done, can you find it? Yeah, you're going to get recommendations. Where'd you get your nails done, girlfriend? They're going to tell you, you know, I got it done, you know, this place. And if you're looking for a good pizza restaurant, you're going to find it, maybe by recommendations, by looking around, by putting it on Yelp or looking around. You're going to look for it today. If you lose your car keys, you're going to find your car keys because they're real important. You're not going to be able to leave your house, right? The more important that things are that you need to find, you're going to look for. And if you're looking for a husband, if you're looking for a wife, if you're looking for God in your marriage to rekindle the passions, you're going to have to look for it. And you look for it through worshiping God. You look for it through reading God's word. You look for it through attending church by coming to the house of God. That's the way that you find God. And God comes up. It doesn't have to be church all the time.
But it does have to look like this, that God, I see you interwoven through my life. God, you showed up when my child was in the back seat and she received Jesus and daddy led her to Jesus, because God is in your home. You see him through the daily. You see him at HEB when you're helping people. You're smiling at people because God's involved in your life, because you're running towards God. Do you understand that today? I wish I had some Presbyterian people helping me and saying, amen, pastor, but I got y'all, so I'm going to do with y'all. Is that okay, babe? Isn't it incredible that people that are in these universities, that are these big thinkers, science, and they think, you know, they finally catch up with God's word, and God's been saying it since eons ago. Harvard did this study, and it revealed that only one out of 13 couples got a divorce if they did these three simple things that I'm about to tell you, that I've given you all the answers for. If only one, wouldn't you want those chances? Hey, the plane's going to go down, 50-50% chance. I'm not going to get on that plane, but I would do these chances if only one got them, right? They're difficult. As difficult as you want them to be. But as you do the holy discipline of these, they'll become a delight in your marriage. And you may be the only one doing them. If you're married and you single men and women in this room, you may be saying, oh, she's not coming. They're coming. But you got to be disciplined to do them. Keep showing up. Amen. Keep getting up and doing these. Number one is this. Pray together. That's probably the key. I could stop there, but you know me. I'm not going to stop, right? Is everybody? Pray together. It's very, very intimate. When you pray together, how many make-out sessions of Irma and I had after we prayed together? Because it's intimate. And if you're not married, if you're dating, it's not a good idea that you pray together. At a table, in public, but you don't want to pray together in bed. You don't want to pray together on the couch. You don't want to pray together horizontal. Saying amen. If you're married, I want you to do that. It's good. Finally, that guy got married. Now he can say amen. Jesus, thank you for that answer. Amen. Amen. I have to have fun up here. I keep myself awake. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, married or single, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will heal their land, and I will heal their marriage. One amen. Thank you. Amen. Intimidating. Well, now he's calling me to pray. All the men are saying, and you know, I don't do that. And my faith is real personal. Your faith isn't personal. It's very active. It's alive. It is personal in some things that you do, quiet time and all that. I'm all for that. But your faith is demonstrative. Men and women of God in this room, start praying together. A simple, if you have to begin with a simple meal prayer, Lord, thank you for this food. You blessed us. If it's something that you say at the beginning of the day, that you just hold each other's hand and look at each other and pray with each other before, Lord, you know my man is going to have that meeting. He's going to be in that meeting. Lord, bless my man. Or you pray for her. Lord, I know she is in a meeting also, and it's been a stressful week, Lord, for her. Bless that simple prayer. Amen. Women like that, by the way, man. If you do that, they will reward you later if you remember them. And it's a good way. That's a PG-13 thing, and you'll get it at 3 in the morning. Amen. Just, amen. Get out of your comfort level. At the end of the day, hold hands and just say, Lord, help us to sleep well. Bless us, Lord, tonight. Bless us all the things you've done. There have been points that Irma and I have gone through things, and she knows I'm going through a tough thing, and she'll send me, I'm remembering you today. She'll text me a prayer. And that does so much for me. There's things that I know that she's gone through work, and, you know, I text her, honey, I love you. I'm praying for you. I believe in you. We're going to make this. Amen. We're together. And that elevates the atmosphere. Amen. She comes home. Amen. And I get blessed again. Give me a good amen. It bonds us together when you pray. It's intimate. That's why you should do it when you're married that way. And you need to be careful if you're not married. It's called soul ties. Amen. It's hard to pray with somebody that you're mad with and that you're fighting with, right? Y'all have done that. Oh, Lord, bless this witch. I mean, bless her, Lord. Yeah. It's difficult to have an affair. It's difficult to get hooked on porn if you're praying with your spouse. It's difficult to get a divorce with someone that you're praying with.
But if you begin to pray with somebody, your life is active. The faith of God is active in your pray together. Amen. That's why James said the each other thing. James chapter 5 in your handout. Therefore, confess your sins to each other. Pray for each other so that you will be healed. God is a God of each other. And so we express it to each other by talking to each other in prayer. The prayer of a righteous person, the prayer of a righteous man, a righteous marriage is powerful and effective. Right, everybody? Stay committed to God as a couple and stay committed to God and stay committed to God, committed to each other. The second thought is this: discuss the Bible together. I need to be really transparent. Irma and I really don't read the Bible together. I know many of you do. Keep going. We don't. We've tried. But what we do is we have our own devotions. And she comes back at me and she says, look what Christine Cain said. Look how this ministered to me. And we're either walking or we're talking or we're in the car. And I go, hey, what do you think about this? And what do you think about this verse? And we pray in our family and we pray for each other because we've learned Deuteronomy 6:6. It says this: these commandments, the Bible, I've given you today that will be upon your heart. Impress them upon your children. How will you talk about them? When you sit up in your home, when you're walking along the road, when you lie down, when you get up, you discuss it daily. There's nothing like a small group that you need to be involved in. A serve group. Get involved in one group because you come back with some dynamite. And what did you do? Well, we did this and we learned this. And you talk to each other and you fill each other up and you bless. Do ministry weekly. Get involved in a ministry that you're serving. You may not serve together or maybe you will. But get involved in a ministry because it will sharpen you. It will bless you. We need help, but we're doing okay without you. But you need this in your marriage. God is woven into every area of your life if you do this. Right, everybody? How does the spiritual life look of a marriage? It looks something like this cup. Because in marriage, you have a cup that comes together and people bring their cups. They're two cups, husband and wife, bride and groom, they bring their two cups. But they have to empty it out into this one cup because now they have one cup, they're one. And just like this has a never-ending circle, it's one, it's not going to end. Our marriages are eternal, even though we won't be married in heaven like I just discussed a moment ago. But you'll remember him, you'll remember her, and we'll have relationship with Jesus. And she'll be happy and you'll be happy and you'll be blessed. And it's kind of like this handle. We have the handle that somebody needs to hold on to us, and that's your faith in God. You hold on to God. During the hard times that you need God, you need something to hold on to, and God better be holding on to us. God, hold on to our lives today. We need you in our lives, and that's your faith in God today. Amen. There's a thought of drinking with each other every day, and out of this cup, you fill each other up. Once a day, you take that time. You take time, and you're filling each other up. She gets a drink. You get it, and you fill your life. There'll be times in your marriage that you're overflowing. In our marriage, we've overflowed. We've been blessed. We've had the children, and we've celebration moments. But there'll also be times, beloved, that it's depleted, and it's real low. It's almost empty. And that's where we got to come and just say, you know what? We're going to be in this thing together. And God, fill our cup again. And we make it. And you make it. If God's involved and he's holding on to you. There'll be a day, if you keep the covenant of marriage, that you'll grow old together. And maybe your strength is so that she'll have to give you a drink from the cup because you won't be strong enough to hold the cup up. And your strength will come to you. You will have to serve her and you will give her a drink because it's until death do us part. And when death does come, there'll be a day that your brothers and sisters here at Living Faith Church, that you'll take a cup together and it will be reminded of that one day the church looks just like Christ in heaven and he marries his bride, but you'll have the church and the support of your brothers and sisters, as many of you do in this room today. And there'll be a day that you'll get the cup in heaven. Each of us in this room. And it's a marriage supper of the Lamb. And you'll finally have the cup as a bride of Christ. And you'll exchange it. And you won't have any other need in your life today. But this cup is a picture of your spiritual journey that you have as a family, as a home, as a marriage, because it's holy matrimony. I want you, number three, to attend church together. And if you do these, it's beyond 50-50, 1 in 1,300. Be faithful to God in attending church as a family. First Wednesday's coming up.
this coming Wednesday night. And that's all we do is worship. We take communion together. We break bread together. And when we do that together, we come to the altar. During that time, we don't have elementary school care because we want our children. The goal was many moons ago that I got in a room with a group of leaders and says, why don't we have our children see us lift our hands, Pastor, that are in elementary school. They'll play a little bit. They'll have their Game Boy or whatever it might be. But there's something holy when your child sees Daddy lifting his hands towards heaven at First Wednesday, saying, God, you meet my needs. Mama, they're crying out to God. And it won't be an intense moment, but they need to see you practicing. They need to be in big church every now and then. Is that okay with everybody? And so First Wednesday is what we worship together. We serve together, and you do that in the church. Stay-at-home parents don't raise go-to-church kids. Someone got that. Yeah. Look at Jesus and his custom, his example that he learned from his earthly parents. It says this, Luke chapter 4, verse 16. Are you there with me? Why don't you read it on three? You're falling asleep on me. Let's go. One, two, three, go. He went to Nazareth, and on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. Yeah. Andy Stanley tells this powerful story of a great pastor in Atlanta about a girl that was raised in his church. And she went off to college, and she was pretty well, you know, the Christian girl in the group and the church, and she was raised right, and she did great things in the church. Everyone knew her and loved her. Well, when she went to college, the secular college, she realized, well, I'm not under Daddy and Mommy's thumb, and she partied a lot because there was no accountability in her life, and she didn't go to church much. She never found one during the second semester, and she started having multiple relationships with guys, boyfriend after boyfriend, sleeping around and her life became that. Well, she realized during that heartbreak of disappointing relationships after disappointing relationships that she needed to return to her God that she'd learned about as a child and growing up in that church. And so she went back to a church. And she went back to a church, and she started getting involved again with people and getting small groups. And they had a big single adult group, and she got involved with them. And she saw this guy that was handsome, had a nice car, great job, great career, but he was also in charge of the ministry, so to speak, and he was single. And she said, look at that guy, you know. And so she tried to pursue him, and she called her mom. And she said, Mama, in the other city, said, I think I found my husband. He has a career. He has a call of God on it. He's a man of God. He has a great job. He has a great car. He comes from a good family, and he loves the Lord. And the mother paused her and said, Honey, sweetheart, listen to me. He said, a man like that isn't going to be interested in a girl like you. He says, I know I hurt you, baby. And there's redemption, but you got to follow Jesus. And if what you want, you need to become. You want a godly wife? You become a godly man. Husbands that are married here, you want a queen in your, well, you want to be king? Then treat her like the queen. What you want, you become today. And that's why in Psalms 127, it says this, unless the Lord builds a house, its builders labor how? So it's going to take something greater than your looks, right? And your personality and all the jokes that you know and the humor. That's not going to cut it after a while. Or your income, your money. Unless the Lord builds a house, its builders labor in vain. It's going to take God in your home to build it today. And you're a candidate for God's love and God's hand upon your life. If you allow God to build you, then he will build your house. And you won't look at a contract, you'll look at a covenant. Because a contract can be ripped, but a covenant stays in place. It loves you, it loves you. It's agape love. I'm never going to give up on you today. Right, everybody? The number one essential for a healthy relationship is living a God-first life. Let's bow and pray. Musicians, would you come? Father, we want to be very still. The musicians are coming. God, Father, they're ministering now, and I just thank you. People are making a decision of faith right now. They're saying, I do. For those that are hoping to be married now, Father, I pray for them. I will pursue the one while preparing for my two. Let that be their mantra. And for those that are already married, Father, I will always pursue my one with my two. And for the men of God in this room right now, I thank you as they lead their home spiritually. God is for you. God wants you to lead. He's put it within you. You're a leader already. He's hardwired you. Take your place. The simplicity of a simple prayer, the simplicity of of reading the Word of God, you take the lead as the man of God in your home. She may pray longer, but you pray, and you're the leader of prayer in your home today. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord, you're doing that with men. Thank you, Father. Mom, you're in this room today, and you're the spiritual head of your home because your husband's absent right now. I pray for you. I thank God for you. I thank you for your example. I pray that there's endurance, there's strength, and there's even joy in the journey. Yeah, God meant for that to happen to you, for you to hear that right now. Thank you, Jesus. Your way will be made plain. Your the smooth way right now, the highway will be smooth in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. Bless them. Strength for the journey. Thank you. I want to bless marriages now. I'm asking today if you're sitting next to your husband and wife that you'll hold her hand right now. Grab her hand. And those that aren't married, you lift your hand towards heaven because God's holding it right now. I strongly believe that. I see that spiritually right now. Father, thank you. You pray your own prayer. Bless your wife. Bless your husband. Ask God to bless them. Thank you, God. Thank you for sending me a gift, God. Thank you, Lord. Help me to cherish it. Help me to honor, Lord. Thank you for the honor of being married, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You blessed me so much. Thank you, Jesus. We will pursue the one together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We draw close to you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Build every marriage. Let it grow, grow, grow. Grow the marriages at Living Faith Church. Grow them strong, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let them have your heartbeat today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. They serve together. They worship together. Thank you for the Word of God being in their home. It's on their lips. Impress them. Impress it upon their hearts, God. And they'll talk about it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. As you stand in attitude of prayer, you're not a God-first person. He wants to be your one, but we're bent away from God today. We have this natural tendency to go away from God. And you need to live a God-first life. God needs to be top shelf. He needs to be at the very top today. I want to pray for you if that's you. I always want to give you an opportunity to receive Christ or come back to Jesus. You're far away from him right now. This is your moment. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I am going to ask that your hands lifted slightly right where you're at. You make an altar. If that's you in this room, would you lift your hand right now and say, that's me. I want to come close to Jesus. I want Jesus to be my Savior. Those on the internet right now, Facebook, you can also receive Christ right now. Let me know that you're doing that. Amen. Anyone just in the room, you're saying yes to the Lord today in this room. You're far away from God. Just making sure. Father, apparently everyone is saved. And so I thank you, Father, that we've equipped the church for ministry. We've given the tools this hour to succeed, God. Marriages are going to be better. They're going to be stronger, Father. It's not based on the presentation. It's based on the principles of God's Word. Thank you, Lord. They're getting stronger in this room. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we love you with all of our hearts. We honor you. We thank you for the gift of God. In Jesus' name, all people say amen. Amen. One more prayer. Would you agree with me in this fashion? As many of you know, Douglas Cochran fell last week, and he shattered his hip. And he's one of our fathers.